You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 159. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm shopping for espresso machines.
Espresso machines. Are you one of those guys that does the pods, or do you have to, like Pete Keeler, it has to be a certain compression, and it's like a science for him.
So we've worked with the same team for a very long time. And other Pete, you know, sometimes known as Phil, is definitely an intense coffee snob to the level of, like, he has his own roaster, he buys raw beans. But I'm sitting here and just hearing all this, like, coffee snobbery, and then I, like, wake up at 7 o'clock for this podcast to get ready, and also because my daughter woke me up, and I'm like, man, you know what I need is not some basic pour-over. I need some full coffee snob, none of that dry pod stuff.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say this, and obviously we're not sponsored, but I am a huge fan of the Nespresso. I have a really nice Nespresso machine, and it makes a pretty darn good cup of cappuccino,
Having a nice Nespresso machine
it's a high-end one. I have a steamer. It's real deal.
That's like.
But I say that to Pete Keeler, and he just kind of, he's so nice. He doesn't say it out loud, but he just gives me that look of like, oh, you poor child.
This is like when someone comes up to you in your audio snobbery and you're like, I have a really nice blue microphone.
Snowball.
You know, the USB blues. And you're just like, get out of here, podcast trash.
All right, listen. Well, we got a guest, and he is not a snob, although he does know what he's talking about, and especially when it comes to lifecycle management. He's no stranger to the podcast. His name is Mr. Niels Haugort. I hope I pronounce it right. I usually do my best, but Niels, did I get it right this time?
It's getting better and better, Pete.
Niels, you may know him from from some of the books he's written. He wrote with Frank Denneman, the Host Resources Deep Dive, a couple of series of that, the Cluster Resources Deep Dive as well. He's been at VMware for quite a while now. He's on a team that focuses on a lot of different things around vSphere, DRS, things like that. But he's also part of lifecycle management. So we're going to talk about some vSphere lifecycle management, or VLCM, today. Niels, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, well, thanks again for having me, guys. I'm excited to talk about VLCM, one of the most popular features, I guess, in vSphere 7.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it's definitely one I get the most questions for sure.
Definitely, same here. And you see customers really digging the way we took in making things simpler on every level, obviously, but for lifecycle as well, because using VUM, vSphere Update Manager, wasn't always the most efficient way of doing things, maybe.
Yeah, I would say so VUM was a pretty good first step, but I think, you know, it didn't really address the biggest pain point, because to me, anybody who wants to do, especially when you're getting bigger, when you have an environment and you're doing patch management and you're focusing on the entire server, the full stack of server, the firmware, you know, you're also talking about your hypervisor software. You don't want to have separate workflows, and take different outages. And man, just upgrading firmware on servers alone is through the ILOs or the IDRACs or whatever, that could be a pretty painful process. John, you were a consultant for a while. Have you ever had to do that?
Oh, I made a lot of money off of it, Pete, if that's what you mean by when I was a consultant. So, one thing to note is, VUM makes patching drivers really easy, because it's part of the base vSphere build. But one of the there's two challenges. One, if you patch the driver without the firmware, you've built half a bridge. You've built a beautiful half a bridge, a great half a bridge. But a lot of times, if you update a driver and you don't have the firmware, you will hit all kinds of weird bugs, because this isn't necessarily the most public knowledge, but I'll share it with the world here. Hardware vendors don't do a lot of regression testing. They come out with a new driver and they're like, oh, what's the new firmware at this time? Okay, cool. Testing done. Moving on. Mission accomplished. Move on with the world. So if you never update the firmware and you're running like a three-year new driver with a three-year-old firmware, you're going to see some weird stuff. You'll see host crashes at the BIOS level. On NICs, you'll just see packets just go on vacation and disappear into the ether. I'm not running wireless. Where's all my packets going? But no, as a consultant, I made a lot of money helping people orchestrate the patches, but also diagnosing a lot of issues that, go back to that. And I know people groan when you call support and the first thing they say is, hey, you need to update all this stuff before we really want to talk. And it's because they know there are so many undocumented issues. I mean, read the release notes on some of the drivers and firmware. They're hilarious. It's like, critical update, nothing changed. like driver and firmware engineers are the shadiest shadow overlords who document nothing. I mean, publicly. And yeah, this is a much bigger, this is a big issue, you know, for once it's bit you and you've been scarred, which I have clearly from too many outages caused by this. Other people are like, why does this matter? I've been on this stable driver firmware mix for like, you know, it's a 2009 vintage that I found a pairing that worked and I just stay with it. But, you know,
if
eventually
it ain't broke,
you have to
don't fix it.
And then here's your problem. So that's my rant here.
It definitely sounds that you took on some damage in those years, John. But
he's scarred.
He is scarred for life, definitely. But it is exactly to the point of what we did with VLCM, right? Making life a lot easier. So Pete mentioned doing upgrades on scale. That is the first big thing. So VLCM focuses on the cluster instead of just the individual hosts. But like you said, John, fixing that integration with vendor OEMs and be able to push out drivers from within the vSphere client, drivers and firmwares, that is a big thing. And every customer that I talk to, that is by far the most interesting bit about VLCM to them.
Yeah, and I want to talk about what the base image looks like for VMware and how that compares to other solutions. So we'll take that apart in a minute. But about the scale, why is it important to remediate, if you will, at a cluster level compared to an individual host level?
Well, this is all about consistency, right? Consistency, standardization, and what you could do with VUM and you can do with VLCM as well is just go for the ESXi base image, right? We'll talk in a minute about the desired state and what that looks like, but basically first of all, the ESXi build version, if you have consistency on that level, that is something that you obviously need to do. But taking that a step further into drivers and firmwares, that is a difficult thing. Because like John said, upgrading firmwares, a BIOS alone, you need to put that host into maintenance mode, log into the out-of-bound management tooling, download the bits as well. Just a lot of manual operation going on that level and time-consuming and way too much effort. And time is money. So customers typically don't even bother.
Well, that time's actually impacting architecture. So, you know, back in the day when if I was just running VUM and I needed to patch four hosts, you know, I could turn on DRS, tell VUM to remediate a cluster, go to lunch, come back, you know, vMotion would do its thing and roll through that. That's great. One reboot. But the problem is when you got BIOS and firmware and these other things, you have to do additional reboots.
Yep.
And when you start stacking more reboots on top of this, and you have to stack different interfaces, and I love our hardware partners, but you know sometimes you can see why they make hardware and not software. Some of these interfaces, particularly the out-of-bands back in the day, could get kind of kludgy and weird and ugly. And so it's, okay, I've got to go to three different interfaces. This host, in order to reboot it, well, I can't patch the BIOS and the drive firmware at the timer. Oh, I added this GPU separately, so I have to go use a completely different weird tool. Some of these things I can patch without restarting from ESXi, but that's maybe not necessarily reliable. So then I have to boot like an ISO, and for some godforsaken reason, one of my OEMs didn't have a tool at all to patch the NVMe drive, so I have to boot into FreeDOS and run a command line tool. Again, I'm sounding like scarred, don't I? But it's from experience.
That's a real pain.
And it's like, okay, at this point, I'm at four reboots, three different operating systems. Like, yeah, this pain adds up, and because of this time is adding up and I have a patch window of only 4 hours, I can't run a 30 node cluster because I can't do all this in 4 hours.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, do I want to split up my cluster upgrade into six discrete windows? Probably not. So now I'm going to say, I'm just going to limit my cluster size to something much smaller purely to deal with the logistics of, you know, how I run my patch windows or things like that. I know it's non-disruptive, but I still, you know, we may organizationally still operate on some old ITIL framework that requires that. And this is actually impacting my cluster design.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, so when you do remediate with VLCM on a cluster level, as Niels mentioned, you have that consistency because VLCM has a thing called drift detection. So you may have an NVMe device that has an outdated firmware, or you may have something that's been upgraded, but all of a sudden, as John mentioned, since it was done in a separate workflow, you may not have gotten to all your servers. And so
you forgot
inconsistency.
One.
Yeah.
And then you'll find out like 2 years later when you have some weird performance issue on one host and you're like, oh, apparently we missed that one. Or something fails. Like, what happens if something fails? You're going to get a device that came in a box that's been sitting in a warehouse since, you know, time began. And like, wait, why does this one host that I know I patched have a 6-year-old firmware? Well, you know, apparently not, you know, people don't patch it when it, before they ship it from the warehouse for you.
Yeah, and so VLCM does that in the sense of maintaining a desired state image or a desired state configuration that will take that desired state, you know, firmware, software, drivers, hypervisor, all that, and enforce that across your entire cluster to make sure that you're in compliance. And it'll report to you when it's not. And then the remediation is a very simple process. So, Niels, with that, let's talk about that desired state. You know, what is the desired state, and what do we need to know about that?
So, yeah, that is basically the base image that we set up on a per cluster level, right? Because the cluster is the boundary for VLCM. And in that desired state, we're looking basically at the ESXi base image. That is obviously the prerequisite that we have that you at least choose that one. Sure. And that already helps you, right? From a consistency point of view, again, from a ESXi, running the same ESXi build version on all the hosts. But we can complement those with optional vendor add-ons and potentially the driver and firmware integration with selected vendors as well. So that is basically those three components make up the desired state. Now, one of my favorite capabilities of VLCM is that those bits can be automatically downloaded into vCenter server as well. So we now have the image depot, which is a part of Lifecycle Manager. And in that image depot, we will automatically download the ESXi base version and the vendor add-ons as well. So whenever a update will be released by us, by VMware, it'll automatically be downloaded. Obviously, you need internet connection, and you can use either direct connections from your vCenter server or using the vCenter server proxy. Or if you, for whatever reason, are isolated from the internet, you can also upload the bits manually. But again, making it so much more easier to configure that base image, to configure that desired state. And that is the beauty of that desired state, right? You can change it at any given time. So whenever a new ESXi release is published and it is downloaded and you see that pop up in the image depot, you will actually be notified, hey, there's this new version. You might want to check that out for your desired state. You can edit this the cluster image, your desired state for that cluster, and include that new ESXi build version, for example. Go ahead, pre-check and remediate the hosts back to compliancy.
Yeah, I like that. I really like the way things have changed in the sense of how software distribution and patch management looks like, because you no longer have to wait for like a custom ISO. You know, they're not, everything's not wrapped up into just one custom ISO that has your ESXi and then all of your different, you know, OEM add-ons, if you will. I like the fact that VLCM is completely granular. You're always going to get that base image, right? Which is just, you know, a collection of components that are for ESXi. And then you've got your vendor add-ons that are also separate components of these vendor add-ons. Everything's a component, but your vendor add-ons are a collection of components that you can apply to your base image, and then VLCM will either remove what's not in the base image or it will add what components are listed in that base image. That granularity is, I think it makes people a lot more agile.
Yeah, definitely, because we have talked to a lot of customers who are always waiting with a new vSphere release. Maybe for multiple reasons, but one of the reasons definitely being that the OEM, the vendor OEM, didn't ship the custom ISO just yet. So like you said, it's easier for our vendors, our technology partners as well. They just release that package, that vendor add-on. We automatically download that in the image depot and off you go. So we started off, and we'll talk a little bit more, I guess, about the firmware integration. But for the vendor add-on, we have additional packages now from Dell and HP. But if you look today, you'll also notice that we have a new package, a Fujitsu package as well. So again, it is automatically downloaded in the image depot. And now whenever you use a Fujitsu host, you can slipstream those bits in the desired state image as well.
Yeah, I noticed the Fujitsu was on my list of vendor add-ons just the other day. I was like, ooh, is that because I'm on a, you know, new build, or is that public?
Yeah, no, that is definitely public. Nice. And I like That's it. Awesome. Whenever you select those vendor add-ons, you'll immediately see what is shipped in them. So depending on vendor, that might be some hardware providers, that might be the BIOS itself, that might be just your typical drivers, your async native drivers for ESXi. So yeah, a lot of flexibility towards the vendor add-ons as well.
Now, it is worth noting here that you can build your own custom image still. So let's say you have a vendor add-on, you've got an HPP, and you decide, well, there's one component I don't want because there's some weird conflict, or I want to upgrade one subcomponent because support has identified a bug with that, and you know, there's a cycle on how often those are pushed out. You can still go up, you know, build your own HPP, upload it into there and push it out, right?
Yeah, you have the ability to not even add a vendor add-on, and that you can also add individual components. So when you're inside of a base image, you'll see the very top is the ESXi image, which is your base, right? That's required. Every VLCM image has to have ESXi, of course. You can't install an add-on unless you have a base. But then the optional, which is highly recommended for server vendors, is the vendor add-on if you want to do that. But then there's also, then there's firmware and drivers. We're going to talk about that in a second. But then you might notice on the very bottom, there's one called components, and you can upload individual components if you want. You can truly assemble, if you wanted to, a very specific build with various components.
And this isn't something I guess I'd see you doing as a default. It's more of, for whatever reason, something like there was an interop issue between your NIC and your switch, which is something really odd. You know, you might want to update that NIC differently. That would be an option there.
Yeah, I would recommend doing the vendor add-ons for the most case, aside from those little corner cases, because those things have been tested. You know, for example, the one that I just did on in my lab in HPE is specifically for, you know, vSphere 7. So
yeah, definitely. But it is an interesting topic, the independent components that you can slipstream into the desired state image. There's also stuff like, well, a lot of native drivers, async native drivers that you can slipstream into the base image, but also stuff like the VMware USB Flink driver. That is also a component. So whenever you use in your lab, for example, a USB NIC, you can definitely add that component into your VLCM desired state as well.
Ah, so nice. For those chipsets that we're probably never going to see an official supported inbox driver for just life cycle or reasons, or the vendor is not really interested in supporting it, we can pull those from the Fling and put that in. Nice.
Exactly.
All right, we talked about the base image, we talked about the vendor add-ons and even potential components. Let's focus on now the firmware and drivers, these hardware support packages that come from a select number of server vendors today. Let's talk a little bit about what they look like.
Yeah, sure. So that is obviously the thing that customers are most enthusiastic about. And what we did with VLCM is basically create a framework to hook into multiple solutions, because each and every vendor, OEM vendor, does firmware updates differently, right? You have Dell and HP that we support in the initial vSphere 7 release.
Yep.
And you know the speed because you did some amazing demos for both of them.
Thank you.
No, those are really good. And it takes a while. Well, you still need to talking about the Dell integration specifically, you still need to create that custom repository containing the firmwares that you want to be included in that repository. Then you need to install OpenManage, Dell OpenManage integration for vCenter Server. But once you have set that all up, you can use that basically for all the clusters. You can connect that baseline to all the clusters if you want to with VLCM and now be able to push out those firmwares. And pushing out the firmwares is basically us integrating with, in this specific case, Dell OpenManage, and create those iDRAC jobs to update firmwares. And like you saw in your demo, Pete, as well, for listeners, you could actually see the out-of-bound management tooling and the console access to that host, and you see in the iDRAC interface that all the bits are being upgraded, right? And once that is done, ESXi will boot again, and it'll report, hopefully, a compliant state to that desired image.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So the firmware, each server vendor that's contributing to VLCM today will offer a hardware support manager, HSM, which is essentially a VApp that gets deployed inside your vCenter. And that VApp gives us the ability to configure things like credentials to your remote, whether it's iDRAC or ILOS. So VLCM can actually get in there and take care of the full firmware upgrades. It's also the place where you manage those images, right? Those packages that have the various firmware for the individual vendors. As you mentioned, Niels, for Dell, it's OpenManage, right? And for HPE, it's the ILO amplifier. So once those are inside of vCenter, then you're able to configure your full image, and that will be complete with not only ESXi, not only, you know, additional vendor add-ons, but then firmware for your individual servers. So that, in my opinion, is a complete lifecycle management solution.
Yeah, definitely. But it is important to note that we integrate with those toolings from those vendors, right? But the actual updating is done by that tooling itself. We just integrate. And that also means that you might need additional licensing for those out-of-bound networks as well. If we talk about Dell, you probably would require some OpenManage licenses or iDRAC licenses. If we talk about HP, you might need ILO advanced licenses as well. So if you want to utilize, fully utilize that firmware upgrade capability from VLCM, you definitely also need to look into those components.
Yeah, but the beauty of it is because it's integrated inside of vCenter, and once you've got your licensing in place and everything is up and running, the remediation is a one-stop shop, right? It's right inside of the updates tab inside of vCenter, and then you can upgrade all of that all together. But like you said, it connects through the hardware support manager of the vendor to actually facilitate the firmware upgrade part. But it's all one upgrade, and as John mentioned, it's one reboot. You know, this is not a separate process.
Yeah, definitely. That is the big thing here, right? Only one upgrade or one reboot. And remember, whenever you don't have any firmwares or anything like that to upgrade, and it's just about ESXi bits, for example, maybe some of those components, right? You can still leverage Quick Boot as well.
I was going to ask about Quick Boot, because I know you can't use Quick Boot on the firmware updates, but the driver and just the base.
Yeah, well, obviously, you still, if you, like we talked about with firmware upgrades, you need that host power cycle, because we need to go into the BIOS and into the out-of-bound management tooling. But if you, for whatever reason, only are patching ESXi or slipstreaming those components, maybe, you can definitely use Quick Boot. Quick Boot is supported with VLCM. However, it is not enabled by default. And that is because your actual host needs to support Quick Boot as well. So if you support Quick Boot, definitely consider enabling that in VLCM in the remediation settings.
And if your host does not support Quick Boot, annoy your hardware vendor until they do.
Exactly. Because for people who don't know Quick Boot, it is a great way of just basically halting the vSphere kernel and restarting the vSphere kernel instead of doing a full host recycle. Because depending on host configuration with the memory numbers we have nowadays, that could take a long time. I've seen hosts, depending on make and model, that could easily be like 10, 15 minutes even, if you do a full hardware initialization check and memory checks. That is, and then talking about scale and upgrading firmwares, that is,
nice.
Pain in the ass.
Well, this kind of reminds me of from way back in the day, what was it, K-Splice, that did something similar on the Linux kernel where it would like flip bits over. Like this whole idea of not having to go sit there and stare at the initialization of your BIOS is something we've had for a while. And recently I had to do some reinstalls of ESXi at bare metal, and I just forgot how slow booting up a server is, because I spend most of my life dealing with virtual machines, and poof, you know, it's at running state, or my laptop, poof, running state. And then you reboot a server and it's like initializing 40 devices and, you know.
So, Niels, I think we understand now the basic concept of having this unified lifecycle management with VLCM. I think we understand a little bit about the various components that make up an image and how simple it is to actually remediate those servers, as well as the benefits of doing it at a cluster level compared to just doing an individual host level. Now, I still do get a lot of questions from folks about VLCM, so I'm going to play devil's advocate and start to throw just a few of the more common questions your way, and then we can discuss those. First, of course, the one I usually get from folks is, I have servers that are not currently supported on VLCM because they may be a little older. What do I do with those servers? Can I use vSphere Update Manager, VUM, in tandem with VLCM, or do I have to choose?
That's a great question. And we talked a little bit about VLCM and the cluster being the boundary. Whenever you have a data center, you can easily, or hopefully easily, integrate those slightly older hosts maybe in a different cluster, because we need supported hosts, right, for VLCM. So you can easily mix and match VLCM and VUM over multiple clusters.
Nice. All right. So also, you know, another question folks have is like, is my server supported? Well, of course, the answer is going to be, you know, you should check. You should go to the VCG, the VMware Compatibility Guide, and verify that your servers are, you know, compatible with vSphere Lifecycle Manager, for sure. But which vendors are contributing today to the firmware part of vSphere Lifecycle Manager?
Yeah, that is probably the most common question that we get, right? So with the first vSphere 7 release, we support Dell and HP, but we are looking to include more vendors, obviously. We have a short list. Full disclosure, we are working with the partners who are also providing the custom ISOs to onboard them first.
Yeah.
So we are looking to create a sort of partner program for that, and hopefully in future update releases include more vendors.
So yeah, specifically where you'll find it within the VCG is you go to the vSAN VCG, and when you're searching ready nodes, there's additional features. So you'll see SAS expanders, Intel VMD, SSD hot plug, and VLCM capable ready node. I've got a blog explaining this, Pete. We can put in the show
notes.
Yes,
please. Yeah.
But this has been, it's exciting. You know, with Dell, we've got pretty much all of the 14 gen and the most common 13 gen. So your 630, your 730, yep. 730 XD, 530. With HPE, HPE Gen 10. But yeah, as you know, we've mentioned here, there's a lot of other vendors that are working on this and interested in this. This is kind of becoming a minimal, this is going to be like minimal viable product in my opinion for like, if people are going to buy VMware hosts in the, you know, 2 years from now and they're looking at different server vendors and they're like, oh, this one, I can't, I'm going to have to do all that extra work to patch. Yeah. Like,
I think
people are going to think long and hard of like, do I really want to do that? Or, you know, this would be top of my shopping list, you know, if I was buying new servers.
I 100% agree on that with that.
Yep, definitely.
All right. Another question I get a lot. Does VLCM automatically do the compatibility checks for me? So can I just blindly just, hey, let's get the latest and greatest firmware and drivers and then just do, you know, blind patching? Or is there still some consideration in terms of what I'm installing?
Great answer. Great question. Sorry. Hopefully a great answer. yes and no. So obviously, whenever you have set up that desired state image with whatever components and vendor add-ons in there as well, and hopefully some vendor integrations, we will check against that desired state image, obviously. We talked about the drift detection, so we will let you know if a host is not compliant to that desired state. Now, taking it a little bit further is that for vSAN deployments only,
yes.
In the first 7 release, we do check the storage controller for vSAN and check it against the HCL as well. So basically making sure that you are running the most optimal state for that storage controller, because we check the driver firmware combination against the image, obviously, but we also check it against the HCL. So now you really know, we want to take away that guesswork for the customer and making a lot easier for them to understand that they are running the most optimal state. We'll include the link to the HCL as well, if you want to double or triple check, maybe. But yes, that is something that we do. And again, we're looking to expand that to multiple devices or more devices in future update releases as well.
Interesting thing I found out about that in my testing with comparing Dell and HPE. So on Dell, I noticed, so they will check the hardware compatibility list. And so you can, you know, if you put something in there that's not currently supported, it's going to show up. And Dell will actually give you a link to the compatibility guide and show you like, hey, here are the versions that are supported with that particular firmware. And then it'll show you if yours is not, right? HPE doesn't give you the link to that, I noticed. I thought that was a slight difference. So HPE, I think you should also provide a link. I kind of thought that was cool that Dell did that.
Yeah.
So it's like
there's some subtle differences between the implementations on VLCM, and I think this will get more interesting as we add more vendors in. So
yeah.
It kind of reminds me of vVols. I'm like, hey, here's this thing, here's this API, here's this feature set. Yeah. Implement how you see fit against it.
It's a great analogy, John, because yeah, the hardware support managers are slightly different. You know, some, you know, in terms of even what they put into their packages, right? They are slightly different, but ultimately it's the same for the end user, because it's all of that translation gets done, you know, for you with VLCM. And so you just essentially, you as a consumer say, I just want this deployed, I want this image, and it's nice and easy. But yeah, the way they do it in the background is slightly different. The other thing I'll note is if you watch the video that we did for HPE, for example, I had a fully certified server, and I was like, well, how do I test the hardware compatibility if all the hardware on my server is compatible? You know, I want to see the error. I want to see that VLCM is smart enough to keep me out of trouble in this regard. So I went ahead and took that onboard controller that you should never use in a vSAN cluster. I attached a disk to that inside of one of my disk groups. And right away, VLCM was like, whoop, whoop, came up and said, yeah, no bueno. And gave me, and it showed me the one that is certified on my server, the right smart array controller, and then said, yeah, you need to get rid of that, buddy. And then it was a quick remediation to fix that. So pretty cool. It is a smart tool. I think that's going to grow in time to include more. But I will say, I'll leave on the show notes of the page, there is a KB article that covers all of the IO controllers that vSAN is currently supporting for firmware updating. And so that'll give you a head start. But yeah, the good news is if you do put one in there that's not supported, VLCM will be quick to let you know about it. All right, another question I hear a lot is networking. So Niels, what is supported for VLCM as it pertains to, say, NSX?
So in the first release of VLCM, NSX is not supported. So that is something definitely to consider when you are enabling NSX or want to enable a VLCM in a cluster. We do, however, have options to include the NSXT bits with VLCM whenever you are running a VCF, a VMware Cloud Foundation infrastructure. So that is something to keep in mind.
Well, I'm hearing VCF is like the new vSphere or something. So, I mean, that makes sense that that's if you're going to have all these fun tools and lifecycle together, you know, that's the way to go. Because if you're patching your BIOS, you're patching your drivers, you've got Vim that's patching your host, and now you've got VCF that's patching NSX and all the other tooling and reaching out to automate all the other stuff, you know, now you've got a true full stack update story.
Yeah, I like the way that VMware Cloud Foundation is becoming the new vSphere because it becomes the one place to manage everything. And VLCM is certainly one of those things. For those of you that are interested in VLCM and you're looking at VMware Cloud Foundation, I will say, is it supported today? Absolutely, yes. A couple of caveats. One, the deployment of it is a little, you know, detailed today, I'll say. I think it's going to be a little simpler in the next version for sure, but it does work. For those that are familiar with VMware Cloud Foundation, you've got your management domains and then you've got your workload domains. VLCM will work with your workload domains. Your management domain today is still going to use Vim, but obviously, you know, I'm not a product manager, but I can imagine that is definitely not going to be the case in future versions. So short answer is yes, it works. Slightly longer answer is it's going to work a lot better in the next version, I think. Fair? Is that fair?
I think so.
Nice. All right, Niels, what are we missing? What are we missing about VLCM that we haven't covered?
I guess we covered pretty much all the main components, actually.
I like that. Yeah, we covered all the different components, and now we have a base image discussion of VLCM. I like it.
Yep.
So, Niels, are you quarantined as well right now? Is life on quarantine for you as well?
Well, life is opening up a little bit more again, but
you're in the Netherlands, right?
I am in the Netherlands. Yes, but the situation is obviously similar to you folks from a COVID perspective, and. Yeah, I still lock myself up in my home office, and that's basically it. That's where I do my work. No traveling whatsoever.
I'm just bummed because we're coming up to the time when I would normally see you on the conference circuit, and so I'm not going to get to see your smiling face in person. So this Zoom call is going to have to do.
Yes, I guess so, Pete. I guess so. Yeah, but certainly bummed that, bummed is not, we've done several VMUG events, virtual VMUG events, and I kind of like that format as well, because it's okay. Easier for customers to actually attend those virtual events. We did Empower, which is virtual for US and EMEA, and definitely looking forward to the virtual VMworld as well.
Nice. Well, maybe staying home will give you more time to work on a book. What do you say about that?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I think there's a lot of book writing going on nowadays with people staying home and such. So yeah, definitely working on a new book, not the clustering book. I think you should ask Frank about a update on the clustering deep dive for vSphere 7, but we are working on a vCenter deep dive book. So
oh, nice.
Focusing complementary to the entire series. So we did the host deep dive. Obviously, the cluster deep dive series has been around for quite a while. And now we're looking to extend that to have the vCenter deep dive in there as well. And I'm doing that together with Imad Yunus. So that is good fun and keeps me busy.
Good. I like that. Imad's a good guy. That'll be a good book. I'm looking forward to it. All right, man, we're going to let you go. John, anything before we let this young man go?
No, I think we captured quite a bit here. So I'm going to go patch everything. I'm going to, I need to actually patch one of these lights. I've got one patched and I can't patch the other. So got to patch all the things.
You got to patch your home studio lights so you can look pretty. I like it.
I mean, I'm not sure if this is like a dystopian thing. There's a internet of stuff. We'll say that internet of stuff account. So the FCC doesn't get onto us. That actually has this whole like hilarious bent about like upgrading devices and I'm currently dealing with Internet of Things and trying to make sure they're all patched. So that's gonna be my next work from home challenge.
Good plan. I'm gonna go have an espresso and just imagine how much better Pete Keeler's tastes. All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Mr. Niels Haggard for joining us and talking some VLCM. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.